Welcome. You have just tuned in to Kingdom Dominators Faith Church Incorporated, where we are winning. Our pastor, Pastor Sheila Turner, is about to give us an awesome word from the Lord. Repeat after me, please. I receive this word, I believe this word, and I obey this word. Ladies and gentlemen, be blessed.
Now, the word of God. Tonight I'm going to be brief. And we're only going to be with you 30 minutes, and we're going to take our seats, okay? I want to go over a hallmark scripture that says in the book of St. Mark, 11:23, and the book of St. Matthew, chapter 16, verse 19. St. Mark, chapter 11:23, he says thus, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass." And this is the B portion of the scripture. The Bible says that he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I was taught pretty much for the most part to shut up. I guess I was kind of shy to get talking around my mom. My family members, but this Bible says that I shall have whatsoever I say. I shall have whatsoever prosperity that I speak upon my life. That I shall have whatsoever health and wealth that I speak on my life. I shall have whatsoever prosperity and health and wealth and good social spiritual life upon my children that I say. Tell somebody, I'm going to get what I say. I'm going to get what I say. It's too simple. In other words, I can forget and leave out of my mouth all of the negative, the stuff that I could say. Now understand, I'm like you. I'm a work in what? Progress. Amen? But for the most part, God is saying here, that once you learn and you get over into this new system, this new kingdom, that you shall have whatsoever you say. So if you find yourself cussing tomorrow, any ex-cussers in the house, then what you need to do is what? Back up, turn around, dust yourself off, ask God's forgiveness, and begin to say those things that are positive for you in your future. Amen. Amen. Tell somebody, God is working on me. God is working on me. St. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19 says, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever," that means whatever. Whatsoever means whatever. It doesn't matter. Whatsoever. All right? "Thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed," where? In heaven. So in other words, you got some binding to do, and you got some what? Loosing to do. Now, when I was growing up, I can remember seeing the guys, I want to say on the playground, maybe in the community somewhere, they used to take those dice, and they used to, you know, they were loosing them out of their hands to get some lumber or whatever it was. I still do this day on step. Anyway, I saw it. So if y'all can take that illustration, don't get lost in it, but learn how to lose some things. Then what you want to do is you want to understand that this is a key that God has given you. How many of us have keys to stuff? That when you put your key in the door of that, whatever, that lock, it opens up to something wonderful. I enjoy my truck. I put my keys in the truck door and turn it, and I enjoy opening. I enjoy going to my house and putting my key in the lock, excuse me, and turning it and opening it to something good. Do you understand? Coming into a cool house. Coming into a nice place or a nice situation with my key. Do you understand? That's, I don't know about y'all, but that means something to me. God says that he's giving you some keys tonight. You, your family, your children, to your finance. He's speaking to all of that. To your health. God is giving you some keys. He says, this is what you're going to do with these keys. You're going to bind up some things. There have been some things that have happened in your life that plagues you, that you're still wrestling with. Tonight, we got to destroy this because we must move upward and go on and do the will of God. You understand what I'm saying? So tonight, anything that you feel like you need to bind up, go home and bind it up. In other words, when you leave here tonight, you're in class. But when you go home, you got to go to work. So all the stuff that's come against you, you got to bind it in the what? Name of Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? All right. And now I'm going to move on. Okay. I'm going to do this quick review, and then we're going to jump right into our topic. We're still teaching on the authority of the belief. Many people do not understand that they have been given God ordained authority in the earth. What is authority? Authority is the same thing as dominion. The power to determine. The power to adjudicate. The power to settle issues or disputes. You ought to be telling, say, you've been up in my life too long. You've been running the show because I didn't know who I was. You've been running over my finances because I did not know how to adjudicate. The Bible says that my people perish for a lack of what? Knowledge. So tonight, I'm taking back everything, devil, that you stole from me. Tell somebody, I'm taking it back. I'm taking it back. I'm taking it back. All right? My authority is more powerful now because I was ignorant so long, but now I understand who I am. That God has given me what? Authority and dominion in there. If you don't believe it, turn over to Genesis. Oh, have mercy. Genesis 1, chapter 1. Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 20, 28. Y'all there? Come on, we got to read it quickly. Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 28. And God blessed them. And God said unto them. Now check this out. This was before they messed up, right? This is what God said unto them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be what? Fruitful and what? Multiply and what else? Replenish and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over everything that moveth upon the earth. In other words, where you live, your house, your finances, your children, your spouse, your situation, whatever it is, you should have dominion over that thing. And you don't need to get it out of your lane to try to handle somebody else's business. Just do the best you can handle what your business. Amen? You don't have to worry about other folks' business. Just handle what? Your business, and you're going to be okay. Now, the word authority means command, the right to control. The word authority means the power to control something, the might, the right, liberty. You having jurisdiction. Listen, authority means having strength, privilege, force, capacity, competency. Just being competent to do some things. I'm telling you, what I'm doing right now is really one of the most honorable things I've ever done in my life. I tried to be an accountant. I tried to be a good school teacher. I tried to be a good mother and a good wife, parent, all that stuff. But this right here, boy, I feel like I just feel like God has, he found a diamond in the rough when he called me. Amen. So you have the privilege and force, competency to do something. So you need to take hold of that. The freedom, the mastery, superhuman ability, a token of control, delegated influence, okay? Now let me show you something that like I said, I'm going to take a few minutes. God has said in Psalms 82:6, I have said, ye are what? No, gods. And all of you are the children of the Most who? High God, amen? So you're not the capital G-O-D, now don't get it what? Don't get it twisted. You are a small letter G-O-D. That means you have the power to say some things. You have the power to bind some things. You have the power to what? Loose some things. And you need to start with yourself. Don't worry about trying to change your wife. Don't worry about trying to change your children. You need to start with whom? You. Amen? The enemy will do everything he can to keep you from understanding that you have authority. Being convinced of your authority. Having the confidence to rule and operate in your authority. In other words, because you showed up on the scene, everything and everybody around you ought to be what? More blessed. Just because you showed up. When you come on the scene, things shouldn't fall apart. Things shouldn't go wayward. Things shouldn't go awry. But when you show up, peace and joy will show up. And I'm going to tell you something. Even though, do you not understand that God has given us the ability to choose, right? That's why a lot of havoc in the earth, God does not stop. Because, see, those people are operating in their authority. But we tend to think that, okay, if it's not just right, like I heard somebody said that they were tired. I'm tired of them, but I'm going to stop. I've been a good husband now for 2 weeks, but I'm going to stop. I've been going to church for 2 weeks, and I'm going to stop because things ain't working out. Duh. Life is a continuous thing. Suppose God were to wake up tomorrow, you wake up tomorrow morning, and God were to say, well, I'm going to stop the oxygen in the air. You be in what? Trouble, amen? So you need to understand that you need to operate in your God-given authority. And that is one of the things that Satan was after when Adam and Eve were in the garden. He did not only want them to embarrass God. He did not only want them to sin against God. He did not only want them, but he wanted their authority. So they messed up. He got it. For so long, he got it. But even in the garden, you ought to understand that God loves. Because God says that I'm going to cause enmity to be between whom? You and man. Okay? Even in the garden, God had to kill something and wrap them with clothes on it. So that was God's first institution of the word substitution. He substituted. In other words, something had to die when someone sinned. You understand what I'm saying? Whenever you mess up, and even you understand that you messed up and you feel so bad, something is dying. Whenever I mess up, or they mess up, or do something we have any business doing, knowing better, something dies for Jesus. That's why we got to be so happy to have Jesus, to accept Jesus, to believe Jesus, because he came. He was that substitution. Tell somebody, God substituted him for me. God substituted a Savior, one who had never done anything wrong. Just for me, you ought to be glad. You ought to be jumping up and shouting because if you had gone on the cross, wouldn't nobody been saved. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? But the precious, oh, I don't want to get into the blood of Jesus, save your soul. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, 35, you got to go here quickly now. Come on. Y'all in class, you got to move quick. I didn't teach man slow, and I'm not going to teach you this word slow. Yes, we're Bible from the church, but you got to get it. You got to hit it. You got to get it down in your spirit. Go home tonight, tomorrow night, this week, whatever, and meditate. Hebrews 10, 35 says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't cast away your confidence. Stop doing this stuff you know you don't have in the business. Because every time you get involved in your treacherous sin, you are casting away your what? Confidence. You're casting away the confidence that you have in God. Because Satan's job is to show up and to try to tell you that God will not do what he said he would what? Do. It says, for ye have need of patience. So patience and confidence go together. That after ye have done the will of God, tell somebody, after I've done the will of God, I will receive the what? The promise. I will receive the promise. After I will have made up in my mind, it's no longer about me. After I will have made up in my mind, this sin mess is not for me. After I will have made up my mind, I don't have time for the people and the situations and the stuff that I used to do. After I have come to the end of me, then he says, then will I receive the what? Will I even have the not the right, because you have that right, because God said that, but that you will receive the promise. You gotta understand now, God's promises, and in this book right here, They are what? Conditional. Tell somebody they are conditional, huh? They are conditional. You ever heard that? And see, if you're not a math person, you may not know this, so I'm going to teach it to you. There is a statement in the math world called if and then. We call them if-then statements. If you do this, then you will what? Get that. If you obey, then you will receive the what? The promises of God. Amen. All right, so that's my review, and now I'm going to jump right into the Word. Amen. I'm going to jump right into the Word. You and I have a covenant with God. A covenant. Let me give you the word definition of a covenant. A contract. Okay? An agreement between two parties. It's derived from the root, which means to cut. Hence, a covenant is a cutting. God does it. Tell somebody God does it. With reference to the cutting or dividing of animals into two parts, and the contracting parties passing between them in making a covenant. Now, that's in the old days. But see, when God spoke of a covenant, he was talking about he's making an arrangement. He's making a deal. He's making a contract. And the contract is between God and his man or woman of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Tell somebody, you and I have a covenant. A what? Covenant. We have a covenant, a treaty, an alliance, an agreement. We have a central unifying theme, okay? Covenants with individuals and the nation of Israel finding final fulfillment in the new covenant, which is Jesus Christ. You and I have a deal with God. And God is the covenant keeper. So we don't want God to be the covenant keeper and we be the covenant what? Breakers, do we? We want to, you know, look, God. See, let me tell you one of the things that I believe that people do not understand. They don't even understand the God that they serve. He is a loving God. But he is a God of condition. Now, and I'm going to prove this to you. Let me share this with you. When you were growing up, have your parents ever said to you, if you clean up the house and you don't whine and you don't complain and get your homework done and make sure everything is in what? In order, then I'm going to take you shopping Saturday. Have any of your parents ever said anything like that? Amen, amen, amen. Okay, I just want to make sure. Your parents ain't never. Okay. Well, let me go over here. Let me talk to these people over here. Maybe they said it to. If any of your parents ever said, if you do what I'm telling you to do, wash your dishes, clean your room, take out the trash, do your homework, do everything you're supposed to be doing, then you're gonna get a blessing. Then I'm gonna take you to the mall. Then I'm gonna buy you those tennis shoes. Okay. So if that's the case, then. If that is the case, then you need to understand God is no different. He is no different. Amen? Now, I know that there are some extenuating circumstances, okay? I understand it. I'll never forget one time my son didn't even know this. I had already determined in my heart when he came home. He was in college at this particular time, and I'd already set the money aside. You know, God already got your blessings set aside. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? I'm just trying to help you. I tell you, we're going somewhere with this. Okay, but what I was going to do was get up that morning. I'm going to cook some pancakes, some sausages, some scrambled eggs, just like he like them, you know, and buttery syrup, you know, and milk with grits and some orange juice. I was going to lay them out, and then after we finished eating breakfast, I was going to put my clothes on, you know, shower, put my clothes on, and we were going to go out, and I was going to buy that boy anything he wanted. But guess what the rascal did? Sat at the table and was disrespectful. And it went downhill from there. Did I take him out? I don't think so. He messed that one up himself. I didn't do nothing. He was disrespectful. Respect. So I cut it off. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, God is no different. He says, if you be willing and obedient, then. So So he's a Yahweh God. He's a conditional God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, God has ordained that you be in authority. Psalms 8:4. Listen to this. Psalms 8:4. Chapter 8, verse 4. When I consider, let me let everybody have a chance to go there. I need to make sure everyone has a chance to go because I got to move on. I told you I'm 30 minutes now. Okay. All right. Oh, y'all want me to go further than 30 minutes? Okay, that's right. We'll be at 10 o'clock tonight. That's right. Now let's move on. Psalms 84. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, and the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Now, I said all of that to let you know that it has been ordained that you and I operate in God's authority. In other words, we have been given a portion, ordained to have a portion of God's what? Authority. It does not diminish God. It does not diminish God in any capacity. Really, it helps God when you and I operate in our authority. It's just like here at the ministry. The more help I have, the more I can do what I'm supposed to do. You understand what I'm saying? It's just like you at home when you have children. The more that they learn how to go to the potty, and the more that they can go to the drawer and pull out their own underwear and their own socks and put on their own clothes, the less who have to do? The less the parent have to do, right? So you got to understand that God wants you to operate in your ordained authority. But now you can't be abusive. You can't be, you know, you might be those things, but is that going to be to your advantage? That's the thing that you and I need to understand. Is that going to be to my advantage to operate outside of God's realm of blessing? What is man? I'm still on Psalms 8:4. That thou art mindful of him. Do you hear what this word says? That God has you full in his mind. He is mindful of you and your business and your situation. So that's why when you go into your prayer closet, you don't need to be talking about all this other stuff. All you need to do is remind God about his promises. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Okay, so you need to be talking to God about the covenant. But God says, you said, God, that you will provide all my what? Needs according to your riches and glory by whom? Christ Jesus. You said in your word that I should be the lender and not the borrower. Well, God, you got to put me in that position. You said in your word that by his stripes that I'm healed. So, God, you got to put me in that position. You said, God, tell somebody, you said, God, this is stuff you said, God. Covenant and agreement between God and man. That's what you need to go to God for. But if you don't know the covenant, if you don't know that there are three times a year that God wants you to come and visit him and bring him a gift, the time of Passover, Pentecost, and the atonement. If you don't know you're supposed to pay your tithe, or rather if you know better, but you don't what? Do better, then the Bible says that it ain't gonna lie. That my people what? Perish for a lack of knowledge. If you don't know these things, then you will go on. But that's why it's important that you come and hear the word. That's why we don't have time to shout you. Now I wish I could be more flamboyant and you know and be on the side where, you know, I can shoot. When I say shout you, I mean, you know, A-R-I-S-E-L. I can't do that. I don't even know how to do it. I just don't know how to do that. But I can give you this word. Because this word is life. This word will help to transform your mind. Amen. Accepting Christ. Romans 10:9. What does that say? Anybody know what that says? You Bible scholars. You scholars of the Bible. You scholarly people. What does Romans 10:9 say? Come on, let's go quickly. Come on. Everybody over there? Say amen. Everybody there. Romans 10:9. Let's see what Romans 10:9 has to say. First of all, you need to understand that if you have not accepted Christ, that's the first thing you've got to do. Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord who Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Remember what I told you the other day? Stay covered. You're encompassed. God got his head and protection around you. And I used to tell my students this all the time in school. I used to show them this demonstration. I'm going to show it to you. To prove to you that you are safe or you're not safe, whichever the deal is. Now, I'm going to let this be you. This microphone is you. Okay? And this paper right here, this is God and his covenant and his word and his blessings, you know, health and healing and all this stuff. All right? As long as you go with God, you're what? Covered. Can't rain on you. Stuff may happen, you know, this and that. But you're still what? Covered. But as soon as you go, are you covered? So Satan's supposed to do whatever he wants to do with you. But you got to repent. You got to get back up under his what? Covered. You and I must be saved. You and I have got to accept Christ and believe his word. It is not a mathematical equation. The ones that I know how to do, the ones that have been taught by great mathematicians, you don't have to go through all of that. This Bible is simple. It says confess with your mouth. It's telling you again, you got to go home, you know, and do some work. Well, once you accept Christ with your what? Mouth. And with your mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall believe in thine heart that the Lord God has raised him from the dead. He said, you say. Now, between that time and where you are now, you got to tweak some things, and God got to work on you and get some stuff changed in your mind, transforming your life and doing all that. But he's working on you. Tell somebody, he's working on me. He is working on me. He's working on me. All right. Now, this last point, and I'm going to take my seat in your authority. You must understand this one thing. As I pray that God will increase our faith to overflowing, I want God to increase not only our faith, but our confidence in his word. See, because you can't get far unless you have faith in God's word. You might as well not even come to church. I'm sorry. You might as well take your religion, because you don't have no religion, and just go and stay home. Do what they do on Sundays, wash their car, and, you know, wash clothes. You know, because, you know, what can you do without Christ? You can do a lot of wrong stuff, and you can do a lot of stuff that don't hurt nobody, but you still don't have Christ in your life, right? But now, if you want the blessings of God to overtake you, all right, this is what you need to do. Psalm 23. And I ask this question, and even the Bible scholars didn't know what it was. The Bible scholars. Psalms 23. What does Psalm 23 say? The Lord is my what? Shepherd. And I shall not what? Want. You got to understand that you and I have a shepherd. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? We have a what? Shepherd. And I heard the songwriter say, you can call him up and tell him what you want. If I have a shepherd, but this Bible says that I have a what? Shepherd. And a shepherd is the one that takes care of the little lambs. He's the one that makes sure you don't eat too much over here, or makes sure you don't get involved with you over there. But see, some people won't even come to church. They got a shepherd. The shepherd is here to take care of you. The shepherd is here to lead you. The shepherd is not here to harm you. What would David have looked like if he had harmed the sheep? The Bible said that David killed a lion and a bear on behalf of the sheep. And God could use a man like that. He killed a lion and a bear on behalf of the sheep. And you got one child, one job, or one income. You got one house with folks in it that you have to take care of, and you can't treat them right. And David was over a whole nation because God had given him that kind of authority. Because if you could kill a lamb, excuse me, Lord, if you could kill a lion and a bear because of this, You mean to tell me you can't take care of one wife and treat her right? You can't take care of five children, two children, three children, four children, and treat them right? And you got a shepherd yourself, and he treats you right? What's your issue? Somebody help me out now. I don't mean to go there, but, you know, I guess I don't know who this for. Whatever. You got a shepherd, and he says you shall not want. But there's some things you got to work on so that God can get the blessings to you. Do you hear what I'm saying? God wants to get you these blessings. And last night we broke off of us generational what? Curses. The curses are gone. Now what you got to do is keep the blood at every entrance in your life. The blood of Jesus. There are seven places that Jesus shed his blood. In the garden. He sweat blood out of his brow, right? Out of his forehead, right? In the garden. In his two hands, his feet, his side, in his what? Hand. Wherever you need the blood applied, if you need to turn over your will, like Jesus said in the garden, he said, God, is there any other way we can do this? He sweat that blood in the garden to turn over his will. If your will is not the will of God, in other words, what I'm saying is, if you're living in a manner that you know is displeasing to God, you got issues, in other words. If I have issues, in other words, or if they have, let me talk about them. Maybe if they have issues, you need to plead the blood that was shed in the garden to give over your will to the Lord. You understand? Because it's all about you operating in your authority so that you can do the work that God has sent you into the earth to what? To do. Stand to your feet, please. Stand to your feet. And we're going to make this declaration. We're going to make this declaration. Are you ready? In Matthew 25, St. Matthew 25, let me go over here quickly as we are standing to our feet. Pardon me. I want you to hear this word. It says, Matthew 25, let me jump over here to 14. For the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and another one. Pardon me. And to every man according to his several abilities. Tell somebody, God. Tell somebody in this place, tell your seatmate, I have several abilities. And straightway took his journey, all right? Hold on. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same. In other words, he made an exchange, okay? And he did business and made them other five talents. So whatever abilities you have been given, you need to take those abilities and multiply them. Do y'all understand that? All right, and likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. But he that had received one went and dig into the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me five talents. Behold, tell somebody, behold, 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 behold. I have gained beside them five talents more. All right. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into your God-given authority. Now check this out. Now I'm almost finished. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou delivered unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord has said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant, that has been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into that joy, dominion, or that authority of thy Lord. Then he which hath received the one talent. Now check this out. Came and said, Lord, I knew. knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful, lazy servant. Thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not sowed. Thou oughtest therefore to at least put my money to the exchange, put it in the bank, and if it don't gain with 3%. And then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him that and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. You hear that? All right. For unto every one that hath shall be given. All right, and he shall have abundance, my God. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now you and I have told you, I have showed you, I have read to you. We're making confessions, but you got to go home and do some work. You have several abilities. You have several talents. What you going to do with that God has given you? Are you going to go home and watch TV? Watch the shows on television? God forbid I say it, call any name. Are you going to go, play basketball with your time? Are you going to go and take your talents and your abilities and do nothing? So that God can say, you wicked and unprofitable servant, I'm going to take everything away from you. Enter into no joy, no peace. Or are you going to change your mind and go home and say, God, I repent? Look, y'all, this simple. Just say, come on, help me. This is the confession. Lord, I repent. I want to do your way. I'm after your will, God. I will take my authority and I will do your will. I will come to church and hear your word. I will take this word home and apply it to my life. I will turn my gifts into money. Amen? Bow your heads. Father, we bless you for the word tonight. We worship you, Lord. And God, I just pray. I'm just so excited. No wonder the devil wanted to. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord, God, if I was the devil, I'd have tried to kill me too. Oh, God. But tonight, God, I thank you that no longer will we be held captive to being the servant that takes our gift and hides them. Oh, God. But we got to go home now and do some work. We got to invite people into this place. That's part of our assignment. To have the sheep are supposed to be yet sheep. That the part of our assignment is to come to church and be glad to come. And making sure that the campus is nice. And making sure there's no paper around it. Making sure that the place is elegant for God's people to come in and worship. Then taking our lives and our abilities and our gifts and turn those gifts and abilities into money. Show us how to do it. And God, we shall forever be grateful. There are 3 hours that are on the table. If you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is your moment. This is your time. This is the hour. If you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because you're going to need him just to live right. And finally, if you want to join this church, and God has said the same, that time is now made available to you. These are the 3 things that are on the table. Are you here? Are you here? Are you here? We've got 15 seconds and we're shutting this down. Are you here? Do you want your life changed? Are you ready to change your life? Or are you willing to slip back into an abyss of darkness? Or are you ready to stand up to the plate? Go through whatever you got to go through. Do what you got to do. But understand that you have a God that is an if-then God. And he says, if you will do my will, then I will bless you abundantly. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 It's offering time. You may be seated. It's offering time. Can you put some music on, please? Sure. I'm talking about this show. Will you put some music on? Hallelujah. I want you to take your offering envelopes up tonight and tell us whether you're a member or make sure you can, whether you're a visitor or a member, today's date. You may be seated. Today's date, give us your phone number, your last name, first name, address, city, state, zip, whether you're giving by cash, check, money order. We will be taking credit cards in just a little while. Okay, and the note, whether you're giving a tithe, special offering, public offering, first fruit, gift to pastor, others, pledge, total it out, and specify. Our address is 132544 in Birmingham, Alabama. I need you all to be praying because we're getting ready in the last Saturday in May to do our, we're going to